Chapter 45. Liska had managed to ferret out of the department computers the incident report from the death of Rebecca Rose Haas. Short and sweet, a detective named Rothenberg had gone through the motions of an investigation. He had retired 6 months later and moved to Idaho. She remembered his retirement party at Patrick's, a cop bar strategically located halfway between the Minneapolis Police Department and the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. The situation seemed cut and dried. Rebecca Haas hadn't had an enemy in the world. She had simply been one of many people who died accidental deaths in their own homes every year. According to Rothenberg, a neighbor had spoken to her around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mrs. Haas had been excited at the prospect of taking in another foster child. Marcella Otis from Children and Family Services had been there earlier that week to go over some details. Sometime between 2:15 and 4:30 that afternoon, Rebecca Haas had apparently taken a header down the basement stairs. She had been found on the basement floor, dirty laundry all around her from the basket she had been carrying downstairs. Liska pulled up in front of the Haas home, parked on the street again, and went up the sidewalk to the front porch. No one answered the door. Wayne Haas's Chrysler was gone from the driveway. She walked around the side of the house, thinking about Wayne Haas and his high blood pressure. Maybe he was inside, lying on the floor from having had a stroke. Maybe he had decided to get the hell away from this place, chuck it all and hop a bus to San Diego. Who could have blamed him? She turned the corner to the backyard. Haas sat at a picnic table, his elbows on the table, his head in his hands. "Mr. Haas?" He raised his head and watched her cross the yard. "I'm sorry to disturb your morning," she said. "Are you?" He looked smaller somehow, pale in the bright sunshine. "You're not coming to tell me you caught Dahl," he said. "No. I wish I could tell you that." "You're here to accuse me of something, then?" "What? I haven't been watching the television. No news but bad news." Liska sat down across from him at the picnic table and leaned her elbows on the tabletop. She had already decided not to tell him about Judge Moore's abduction unless he brought it up himself. He would be less suspicious when she asked him questions about his son. "Seems like it," she said. "How are you feeling?" He tried to laugh, but didn't have the breath or the energy for it.
"What do you care?"
Liska sighed. "You know, we have to learn early on in this line of work not to put ourselves in the place of our victims or their loved ones. It's too difficult, too painful, warps our sense of objectivity. But that doesn't mean we don't have feelings, Mr. Haas. I'm sorry for what you've had to go through," she said. "I have 2 boys, and every day I see the things that happen, the things people will do, and I think about my kids. What if? What would I do? I don't think I would be able to go on." Haas was quiet for a moment, looking off toward the wooded area at the back of his property.
"You would," he said at last. "You wouldn't know how or why, but you would."
"To see justice done?"
"I don't know. What's justice? It's not what Carl Dahl was getting."
"He will," Liska said, though she had no idea if that would happen. Perps didn't always get their just desserts in this life. That was one of the reasons she kept believing in God, the hope that he would kick ass in the afterlife.
"Sometimes it's just anger that keeps you going," he confessed. "And you think, if you let that anger go, then none of it means anything."
"Do you have anyone you can talk to about this?" Liska asked. "A friend? A minister?" He tried again to laugh.
"I don't have anybody. Nobody wants to know me. It's like they think it's catching that someone might come to their house and kill their family too."
"You've got your son."
"I'm supposed to be strong for him. He takes care of me like I was an invalid."
"He loves you very much," Liska said. "I'm surprised he's not here with you."
"He stayed the night with his friend, the Walden kid," He's home too much. Sometimes I have to practically throw him out of the house, make him go be a kid. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity to do that. How old was Bobby when you and your first wife took him in? 10 years old? That must have been a big adjustment for all of you. Haas said nothing. He shook a cigarette out of a pack of Winston's and hung it on his lip. He looked past Liska, as if she weren't there.